The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kisser365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Mendy Stern.
We're in the middle of Hilchos Shabbos, Simin Pei. Ktsas mimelachos ha'asuris b'Shabbos. Some of the forbidden types of activities that may not be done on Shabbos. We're up to Sif Tes Zayin. Afilu b'midi d'lav barachimla, even something which is not edible, it's not a food item. Shayich iser breira, the iser of breira of selecting applies. Kigun, for example, b'kelem with utensils. Ukiyetzi boy, anything similar. It's very common that it comes up when you have a mixture of toys in the house. So then to divide the toys and put them all back in their proper places would be a problem. If there are small pieces and they're in a pile, they're mixed up, that's a problem with Breira. Similarly, if you have silver, which is all jumbled up in some type of container, so to select them and to divide them up would be forbidden. If one wants to set the table, you should take whichever one is on the top and put it down in its proper place, rather than some dividing up all the silverware in advance and then using them as you desire. Continues the Kitzur. The Master writes on Mishtamish Payata, because the item that you want to use right now, have the Kamechal, is like the food. The Asher, the Kripsos, and the rest of the items you do not want to use right now are considered like the waste matter. And therefore, again, so if you have your forks and your knives and your spoons all together, and you want the spoons, you can't remove all the forks and the knives. In order to get to the spoons, you have to extract the spoon by itself. Otherwise, it would violate the prohibition against the buyer. If, however, there's many coats, for example, in the closet, and you just want to move aside the other coats in order to get to your coats, Mr. Brewer Paskin, the Brewer says, that's okay, that's not a violation of the prohibition against Bora. Sif Yad Zayin. Ein L'Sanin, Shum and Mashkir, you should not strain, filter, any type of liquid. Ki Yesh Bo Zay Kami Chaluk Yedinim, because there are many differences in law, the intricate details as far as the law is when you're permitted and when it's forbidden, and therefore you should not do it at all. However, you're allowed to drink by means of a cloth, meaning, for example, if you have water and you want to put it in a cup, you want to put a cheesecloth over that cup and drink through the cloth, that would be permissible. This is, we're dealing with a problem of bayer. Straining or filtering is bayer, it's selecting, you're removing the stainless, the impurities from the liquid, and therefore you're not allowed to filter it in advance. However, while you're drinking it is not a problem of the melacha bayer, because the katz of bayer of selecting is something that's done in advance of the eating. If you're fixing the item before you eat or you drink, but in this manner, where you're drinking right now through the cloth, you're just preventing the impurities, the waste matter, from coming into your mouth, and that's within the context of eating, the act of drinking, you are holding back the psalus, that's called the part of your drinking. And it's not the malacha of bayir. When we call makim, and still, nishta is mayim kach, I did not put to drink water like this through a cloth. Yesh eisim of those who forbid it, mishum kibos, because of the malacha of laundering. That there's a concept in the malacha of laundering of kibos, that shri asa is deo kibos, if one takes a cloth and soaks it in water, if the cloth was dirty, even though he did not rub it or anything, just soaking it in water, that itself is an act of laundering and it's forbidden. Here the cloth is clean. Take a clean cloth and you're going to drink through that clean cloth. So that's subject to a dispute. And many Paiskim are of the opinion that since the cloth is clean, so you can, there's no prohibition against laundering just because you get it wet, because it's not dirty. There's nothing to launder. There are, however, those Paiskim who are strict and they hold that one is not allowed to get a cloth wet, even if that cloth is clean. And therefore, the Kitzur is telling you that optimally one should not drink through a cloth, water through a cloth, because of those opinions that forbid it due to the prohibition of the Melacha of Kibbutz. And the Yesh L'Hakav, one could be lenient b'shas l'chag in a matter of pressing need, because Shein L'Nayim Nikiyah L'shtas, you don't have any other clean water to drink, and the only way to drink the water would be through this cloth, then it would be okay. And Mikom L'Hakav, and still, L'Yishtah D'Rav B'Yisiyad, next time, Shalom, you shouldn't drink through the sleeve of your shirt. T'Bazeh Yikol L'Nechash T'Fei Shem Yisleh, because in this case, there is much more of a fear. Maybe you will squeeze it out, and according to everybody, squeezing out the liquid is certainly part of the laundering process and is forbidden. And therefore, one should rather use a different type of cloth that you won't be as likely to squeeze out because you're not wearing a wet. You're not going to wear that cloth afterwards, as opposed to your sleeve gets wet. It's uncomfortable to walk around with a wet sleeve, and you may be inclined to squeeze it out, which would be a prohibition of laundering. And the reason the Kitzur says it's only by water is because if you soak a cloth in some other liquid, it doesn't make the cloth clean, it makes it dirty. And the sugars or the color, whatever other, let's say you soak it in wine, that dirties your cloth, does not clean it, and therefore you won't have this issue. It's only by water that we have this issue. And there's some basic halacha as far as straining liquids. The consensus, certainly, it's clear that it's something which is drinkable, and most people would drink this liquid the way it is. You just want it to taste better tasting. You know, more purist, you make it more enjoyable. But not that you wouldn't drink it without straining it. So then it's permitted to filter. And therefore, for most people who would drink regular tap water, it's permitted to filter the tap water through some type of filtering system to make it more tasty and more enjoyable, because you would anyway drink that water even if you would not filter it, so we don't consider that you're really removing any psilis, any waste, since the water is considered clean already. It was clean before, it's clean now. It didn't really change the water, as opposed to a situation where the water is so impure that no one would drink the water, so that's much more of an issue. And the simple halacha is that it should be forbidden in the case of pressing need. You're in an area and they don't have drinkable water. All you have is everyone has to filter their water. One should ask a rav what to do in a situation like that. And additionally, if you personally are very picky or finicky and you would never drink regular tap water, even though most people will drink the tap water without filtering it, but you happen to be very specific and refuse to drink the water without filtering it, then it would also seem to be a problem for you to drink the water, to filter the water on Shabbos, because for you, the water is considered impure, and you are straining the impurities out of the water, which would be a problem. Sif yuches. Mashka coffee. If you have coffee, sheyesh b'tachtisei ha-coffee mamish, you have the actual coffee grinds in the bottom of the cup, shum ipsalis, which is the waste. V'chein shar mashke, or any other liquid, sheyesh b'tachtisei shpermen, as in the bottom of the pitcher or the cup, sediment, a sharp ipsalis, any other waste matter. If, for example, a sand got mixed into your water or something. Kishum marinai, so when you pour out the liquid from one cup to another cup, tzvichin lizo, you have to be careful. You shouldn't pour out all the clear liquid and leave the sediment or the coffee grinds behind. You should leave some of the liquid together with the psalus, together with the sediment of the coffee grinds, so that the clear liquid that you poured off wasn't being separated from the coffee grinds, because the coffee grinds weren't mixed in with that water. It was on tap. And the time you get to the coffee grinds, it's to the sediment and the liquid which is mixed in to them, so you leave it on the bottom and you don't take that liquid, so you're not being bayer. And the opinion of the Mishnah Berurah is that if you're planning on drinking this liquid right now, it would not be a problem, because we consider this to be selecting by hand for immediate, the good from the bad, for immediate use, which is permitted, as we learned in a previous sif. Whereas the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch seems to be strict about this, seems to consider it that you're using a utensil, because you're using the cup to pour it out, and therefore you should not you should not pour it out ever, even if you're planning on drinking it right away, unless you leave the liquid together, some liquid together with the sediment or the coffee grinds on the bottom. The chalav shehu amed continues the kitzur. Milk that was curdled, or that you let sit, and the cream separated, and the cream and the liquid milk separated. Also, in liquid mashal mamla nikra smetan, you're not allowed to scoop off the cream that came to the top of the milk. Rak mashal tzarech lechalat, only when you want to eat right away. The gambazen, even in that situation, you should be careful. Shemar yikach hakol, don't take all of the cream from the liquid. Rak yashu, if it says, leave some of the cream ala chalav atachton on the milk, which is underneath, because if you take off all the cream, since you're using a spoon, that would be considered to be greater selecting with a utensil. And therefore, you have to only take off the top layer of cream and leave some of the cream on the bottom. Alternatively, the price can tell us that you could take some of the milk together with the cream, in which case you're also manually separating the milk from the cream. And then Mr. Brewer's opinion is that if, as long as you do that, even if you do it for eating a little bit later on Shabbos, it's not for immediate use, that's also not a problem because you're not separating. As long as you're leaving some of the cream behind, it's not considered separating, whereas the kitzur is strict in this matter, and it only permits you to separate for immediate use, as well as making sure that you don't separate the cream exactly from the milk, from the liquid. Sifu test. In nafal zavuv l'chidayim, if a fly or some other type of thing falls, so take a machon to a food, and a machon into a drink, so a fly fell into your soup. Well, you also zavuv, you should not remove the fly levada all by itself, because that would be better that you're separating the psalas, the waste matter from the soup. And when yikach gan tzaf mea machon, a machon, you should take some of the food or the liquid together with the fly. These are because you may throw it out together with the fly. And therefore, you're not separating fly from soup. You're separating soup from soup, and the fly came along, and that's okay. Chaf. We now move on to a different area of halacha. We've been talking about bayra till now. Now we move on to the concept of taichim, which is grinding. And the kitzur tells us, in tzarech ladoch palpulin and melach, if you have to grind pepper or salt, chayetzib or any other type of spice, must you tell a meichel not to put it into your food. You're allowed to grind it, provided you make two shinuyim. Do it with, you have to do it in two unusual manners, two deviations from the norm. One is you have to use a handle of a knife as opposed to using a pestle, an official grinding implement. And number two, you grind it on the table as opposed to in an official grinding container. You're not allowed to use a mortar and pestle or a regular official mill, say a pepper mill or something like that, a regular grinder. Rather, you're going to have to use two unusual things. The grinding implement has to be different, and the container has to be different. This is all talking about something that would start off as a salad, like rock salt. If, however, the salt or sugar, they start off as individual pieces and then they clump together afterwards, say due to moisture or something, then it would be permitted to grind the salt. However, still, the Mishabur says that even then you should not use an official mill, an official grinder. However, you don't have to use two shinuyim, you have to use two deviations. You could do one deviation, that would be sufficient. Because it was already ground, it's not a problem of taichin, it's not a problem of grinding, since it was ground already. Sif chaf aleph. Also in lachlech b'tzalim, you're not allowed to cut onions, or shayirakas, or other vegetables. And what dafka sonoch mesuda, only if it's close to the time of the meal. The gamaz, and even then, lo'yichatchen dachtak, you should not cut them very fine. The kitzur is being strict on two counts. He's saying any time you cut vegetables, you run into a possible problem of teichin similar to grinding, because you start off with a larger item, you cut it into pieces, that's similar to teichin, similar to grinding. And therefore, you may not do it any time on Shabbos, except if for a later date. If you're doing it close to the time of the meal, then the Pesach can teach us that it's similar to the Melacha of Bayra, that when you do it immediately before eating it, it's considered Derech Achil, the way in which you eat something. And it's not the problem of the Melacha of Bayra, of selecting. So to here, it will be permitted to grind right before the meal. However, the Kitzur is telling us you still can't grind it very fine. Grinding very fine is also forbidden right before the meal. You have to grind it, you have to cut it into larger pieces. However, Mr. Brewer seems to paskin that as long as the pieces are large, then it's not a problem even long before the meal. And right before the meal, even if the pieces are very small, one could be, there are enough opinions to rely on that one, there are opinions to rely on to cut it very finely right before the meal. However, it is a good thing to try to be strict and not to cut the pieces too fine, because there is a disagreement among the Paiskim whether you're allowed to cut them very fine right before the meal, and if it's preferable to cut them in larger pieces. However, if you do cut them into extra small pieces, Mr. Brewer says that there are sufficient grounds to rely upon, and then so you should not protest if you see someone doing this. And even for yourself, it's not the end of the world. There are opinions to rely upon to cut it very fine right before the meal. Continues the Kitzur. Chavveis, Sif Chavveis, Dabshan Melach Payalbai. We now move on to another topic, no longer talking about Taichin grinding. We're now going to be talking about the Malach of Ma'abid, which is tanning. And while tanning a hide is an actual Malach of Deraisa, it's forbidden according to the Torah. However, what we're going to be learning about is rabbinically prohibited. Says the Kitzur, Dabar Shem Melach Payalba, if you have a food and salt affects it, has some kind of effect on it, either l'rachlai, to soften it, or l'hafik harifusai, or to take away the edge off its bitterness, or alternatively to harden it, anything which the salt affects the food more than just give it a salty flavor, also the malcha, you're not allowed to salt that food, mishon l'havik ma'abed, it's similar to tanning, the same way the salt has an effect on the hide as part of the tanning process, so too, it toughens the hide, so too, if you salt a food and you have an effect on the food, it is similar to ma'abed and is rabbinically prohibited. Lachain, and therefore, also in lech, gorkin, you're not allowed to salt cucumbers, chayin, which are raw, because it has an effect on them. Lachain, sain, so too radish, if it's salam, or onions. Also in lech, you're not allowed to salt a filo mashut tzarech, like even what you're going to eat for this meal. So you're going to have 3 or 4 cucumbers I'm going to eat during the meal, and not allowed to salt and sprinkle salt on all of them before the meal, even though it's right before the meal, because it's similar and looks a little bit like tanning. Ella, however, what you can do is matpul melach hatich hatich. You could dip them one by one in salt and salt them individually. If I can eat them individually, as you salt them, you can eat them. That would be permitted. But to salt a whole bunch of them together, that would be forbidden. Avo beitzim ubasar mevusho, but eggs or cooked meat, as opposed to raw meat, where the salt does have an effect on it, but eggs and cooked meat, nukiyetsi, but anything similar, shena melach mayalim, the salt doesn't have any physical effect on them. El shnitim behem tamelach, it just makes them salty, it gives them the flavor of salt. Mutal imalcham, you're allowed to salt them, malachlan baisasuda, to eat them during that meal itself. Al b'shvila ha'nichon, the suda acheres also, but even these items, you're not allowed to salt them to leave them for a different meal. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes a difference of opinion among the Paiskim. There are others Paiskim would say that even to leave it for a different meal, it is permitted. And Mishnah Berurah says, certainly in a situation where you're salting it to preserve it, and then you're worried it's going to spoil, and you don't have a refrigerator, or you don't have room in your refrigerator, and you're salting this food item so that it will be preserved for later on the same Shabbos, then according to everybody, it is permitted. However, if you are salting it, so let's say in the morning, you're planning on eating it, later in the afternoon, so then it will be subject to a disagreement among the Paiskim, and the Kitzur is telling us that one should be strict in the matter and one should not salt it for later on in the day. Sif Chav Gimel. Eilim Leach B'yachad Harvey Pulum the kidney as Mibushalis. You're not allowed to salt altogether a lot of beans or legumes which are cooked. You're not salt them altogether. Because the salting helps to soften them. And even to salt them or to eat them all immediately is forbidden, as we learned in the previous if, that to salt a lot of items at one time is forbidden, even if you're planning them all right now. And obviously we're talking about over here, as the Shulchan Aruch says, that these were cooked in a way where they didn't become softened, either they were cooked in the pot, didn't become so soft, obviously if they were cooked by themselves outside of their shell, outside of their pot, as we all know, the beans become very soft, and the salt's not going to make them softer. Sifchav Dalad, salad, which is lettuce, gherkin, which are cucumbers, v'chein shar mina tibulin, or other types of dips. I mean, you make some kind of salad, whether it's cucumber salad or some other type of salad, maybe it's salad from onions or kadema or something similar, mutal and malchon, son of a suda, you're allowed to salt them right before the meal, even though it's a lot of items. You have a whole bowl full of cucumbers and onions, something for your cucumber salad, or a whole bowl of lettuce or whatever it is, whatever type of salad you're making, you're allowed to put salt on all the vegetables right before the meal. Since you put other ingredients into them right afterwards, so you pour on oil or vinegar, they weaken the power, the strength of the salt, and the salt doesn't have an effect on the vegetables. Just as we said before, you're not allowed to salt the number of vegetables altogether. That's only when you're salting them and just leaving them and letting them sit in the salt. And even if you afterwards, you happen to be eating them right away, so it's going to be a problem if you just put salt in them. That's similar to tanning. If, however, the recipe is you put the salt on and you put other ingredients in, so then we don't view the salt as being a separate salting all by itself. We view it as being part of the recipe for the salad dressing, and it's like you put in the salt and the oil together, and therefore it's not a problem because the salt is going to lose its ability to affect the vegetables because of the other ingredients that are added. But you're not allowed to salt them and leave them, and then afterwards put the other ingredients for the salad dressing. That's going to be forbidden because you salted and you let them sit in the salt. Rather, you have to put the salt in and then right away pour the other ingredients. And certainly, if you want to pour the other ingredients first, it's certainly good. And then the salt has no time whatsoever to affect the salad. Sifchafe. Again, a new topic now. We're talking about the malacha of Bainer, which is building. This is binder, the malacha of building, shayach kam b'maychal, applies even to a food. And certainly you're not allowed to go and build a structure on Shabbos, a house or something. That's the quintessential application of the malacha of binder building. However, it applies even to a food. The hamagavein, one who makes cheese, it means he takes the milk solids and combines them to make a hard cheese, and hamagavein gavina, he combines the milk solids to make a hard cheese. He presses fruit together, for example, to make a cake of pressed figs. He takes all the figs and presses them together into a cake or mashrei son, and he smooths them out, shiu yafin, so that they should look pretty, they should look presentable. That's forbidden because of the malacha of bainer, that you're putting things together, even foods you put together is similar to the malacha of building, where you put things together to form a structure. And therefore, if you cut up onions with eggs, I am chal of herring or with the milk from herring, the cream herring, usually you're not allowed to make them even and to beautify them. That would be similar to this malacha, that you're building the vegetables, you're making them look nice. Just cut them as is and leave them, don't smooth them all in one big pile, don't push them all, press them all together and smooth them into something that looks nice, as you're putting them all together and smoothing it out and making them look beautiful, which is again similar to the binder, that you're putting them all together. Rather, just cut them together and leave them, and there's no problem with binder. Sifcha Vav, Kishamedichen Kalem, when you rinse dirty dishes, the Mayim rinse them with hot water. Well, Yahreh HaMayim Al Kalem, you shouldn't pour the water onto the dishes. You should rather pour the water into a different basin or something, a different kli, a different utensil, vessel. And afterwards, put the dirty dishes into them. And the reason is because sometimes dishes have congealed fat. If you pour hot water directly onto the congealed fat, then you are actively turning the fat into a liquid, which is forbidden because of mainly that you are creating something new. We discussed this type of concept earlier. We talked about making ice into water. So through here will be a problem, and therefore your kids are telling us any dirty dishes, you should just put them into the basin with water, so you're not actively pouring the water onto this fat and making it liquid. You're passively putting the dishes into the basin, and then passively the fat will become melted and run off. So you're not allowed to wash them with a cloth, because of the possibility, the prohibition, you come to squeeze out the cloth. You should wash them with some type of shmata, some type of cloth which is designated for washing, and you're not worried. You're not careful to squeeze out even during the week. Now, presumably, it does not mean really to wash it, because you're really not allowed to soak the cloth. If you really soak the cloth in water, it's almost for sure you're going to squeeze it out. Presumably, he means maybe after it's wet already, so you can take the cloth and you're going to rub it with the cloth as part of the washing or drying process, and that's forbidden if you have a cloth that you care about, and you may come to squeeze it out. But if it's like we have a dish towel, so we're not worried, you can come to squeeze out the dish towel, because dish towels are made to get wet, and even during the week you don't squeeze out your dish towel after it gets wet. When you rinse, when you clean glass utensils, you're not allowed to clean them with oats, or some other type of detergent, which makes it very shiny. And the shibur is not so clear why this is forbidden. There also idea came on the Shabbos. You're not allowed to wash dishes on Shabbos. Eloisim should speak on the Shabbos. Only those dishes you're going to need on Shabbos itself. So, for example, if you use plates, let's say large sized plates, during your daytime suda, and then for Shabbos shudas, you're not going to use those sized plates. Then you're not allowed to wash those plates now, because you don't need them anymore for the rest of Shabbos. However, the Mishnah Berurah says, if you're going to need some of them, even though you may not need all of them, but since you will need some of them, it's permitted to wash all of that type of item. If you need one fork, you want to wash all the forks you have of that size. If you need one bowl, you want to wash all the bowls, etc. And then these kids, it tells us, the Tefillas Kelim and Shabbos, the rules about dipping, putting kelim into utensils into the mikveh on Shabbos v'yom tov, I and Leo, Sif Simon Lamed Zayin, discussed it earlier, and the Simon Lamed Zayin.